The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to today's action in Listowel. The Listowel Festival continues on Thursday. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Very well, Mark. Yes, thank you.
Good. First time I've spoken to you, Andy, since you came back from your holidays. Did you have a good time?
I bet you enjoyed that week off, didn't you?
Well, I should have done, but I was too busy sat in hospital for most of the week.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I...
What do you do?
I've ended up making my foot face the wrong way, which wasn't very
nice. You dropped your wallet on your foot.
Yeah, I wish. Yes, it's all gone terribly wrong. But, how was your holiday, Andy? Good time?
Yeah. 3 or 4 days of nice weather. First 2 or 3 was pretty bleak. But picked up okay. Managed to come back with a bit of a sore throat, though, which is a bit... strange, considering I was in 40-degree heat for the last 3 or 4 days. Yeah, I don't know where I got that from.
You managed to keep your eye on the Irish scene, and that's the most important thing.
I have since I've come back. Yeah, I didn't do much while I was over there, obviously. Yeah. I didn't see any racing other than a couple of bits and pieces, courtesy of a sports bar in the centre of the town where I was. But I didn't occupy myself too much with it. Try to keep myself nice and fresh and... managed to catch up since I come back, done all the times, and some good performances. And yesterday was the first proper day in anger. I had a go at it and managed to land a nap yesterday, so hopefully we can continue.
Good. And from what we were saying off air, Andy, you've got a few fancies tonight. You quite like the look of the card.
I do, yeah. I've had a few bets this morning.
It's this afternoon, isn't it?
Yeah, it's afternoon. Yeah, it is now. Yeah, we're doing this podcast a couple of hours later than we normally do, so unfortunately one or two of the prices aren't so attractive as they were this morning, but they're still, obviously backable, and hopefully we can have a good afternoon today. Heavy ground, of course, very much in the ascendancy, so we know where we stand.
Okay. The 2:35 is the first race this afternoon. It's we start with a median auction maiden over 7 furlongs, and Madame Mo has been supported into favourite this morning, 5-2. Into 2-1, overtaking Late Rosebud in the betting, who still searching for that first win, has the visor on today for the first time. But those two have had plenty of chances, Andy. Do you think either of those will finally get their head in front here?
Yeah, it's amazing, really. The first three in the betting are all similar types, as you said. Plenty of chances between them. You're looking at almost 20 runs and counting. It's just which horse handles the ground, which is the key component this afternoon, of course. Madame Mo at least has had plenty of opportunities or plenty of runs on this ground to give her a good positive shout. I'll probably just make her my selection, Mark, over the other two. I'm just not a massive fan of Silver Lining. I've tipped her a couple of times and I think she's gone backwards a little bit, and the ground might be more of a concern for her than the other two. Late Rosebud, similar to Kevin Prendergast gelding, has looked a little bit reluctant to go by on more than one occasion, whereas Madame Mo, I think she's going to receive quite an attacking ride today here by Colin Keane. I think Colin will be very much aware that filly stays really well, so you won't want to be hanging around here. She does make the run in. Indeed, she tried to adopt those tactics last time out, which in hindsight probably was a foolish thing to do, because they went a really good gallop that day at Sligo. Speed figure was very good, and Madame Mo, she didn't quite come up the hill as strong as she went down the other side. But dropping back to 7 furlongs today, good draw. I think, like I say, from the front, she's going to be difficult to pass today in the first, Madame Mo.
Okay, on to the second race then. This is at 3:05, and this is another maiden. This one's over the 1 mile trip. And Muntasaf heads the betting this morning, but is a bit of a weak favourite, 11-8 out to 13-8. Deep Speed going the other way, 9-4 into 7-4, and Cottrell's also attracted a bit of money, 4-1 into 7-2. Who'd you like for the 3:05, Andy?
Well, I'm a big fan of this deep Speed, Paul Hickey's 3-year-old. He's caught my eye twice, so much so that there's a band of merry men, including myself, who are piling together a list of 3-year-old horses who might make into juvenile hurdlers. We're trying to pass them in the direction of Sean Quinn and his dad to, we're going to try and bid for one at the forthcoming sale. And Deep Speed is one of these horses that we've had our eye on. Whether he'll handle the ground, we don't know, but if he does, then it certainly opens up more opportunities for this 3-year-old. He's by Invincible Spirit, have a day in him there, so you, like I say, it's just guessing game. But there's been good money from this morning, and I'm confident that if you can, you know, run to that form that you did the last time out at the Curray, should be good enough to beat the other two in the betting, Cottrell and Muntisap. Particularly Cottrell has had loads of chances. Muntisap's an interesting runner. He was runner-up for Kevin Prendergast here at this last year behind Lord High Protector. Just came out of it second best in a driving finish. First run for Andrew Oliver. Of course, he could be very dangerous. But it's all about deep speed, really. He looks a really nice type, and I just think he's getting better each time he steps on the track, and hopefully today he'll put that one in front of the 3-2.
Okay, on to the 3:35 next, and this is a handicap of 1 mile, and whilst there's plenty of them in the race, 16 of them in total, we have quite a short favourite in the shape of Fulminata, who was a wide margin winner over this course and distance on Tuesday. Bids to follow up under a penalty this afternoon, Andy. Do you think that Fulminata's a good thing here?
Well, she's certainly theoretically very well handicapped, isn't she, here? She's due to get £14 in the future, and of course, punters and bookmakers alike are always alerted to that, so you don't really get much value with a horse like this. Everyone's aware that technically she's a handicapped good thing. Killian Hennessy takes 7 off, that's offset half of the penalty she's due to go up, and she actually races off technically a lower mark than the official handicapper gave her the other day when she won here very easily. The ground's going to be slightly softer, it was yielding to soft the other day, it's now heavy. She hasn't got a particularly great draw, but at the same time, it's not a particularly tragic draw. She's just not my kind of bet in a race like this. I just think, you know, you do kind of get sidetracked by, you know, weights and measures, as it were. And, you know, this is competitive stuff here. That race of the day wasn't overly strong. And there's one or two horses who've got good form on soft or heavy ground, particularly around this track. And one of them is Mama Rosa. Not particularly well drawn for the Patrick Flynn stable here in stall 13. Danny Grant on board. But she's been running consistently well all season long. We know she'll go on the ground. She's won here before on soft ground. And she was a good fourth in a really good premier handicap down in Roscommon the other day in a very fast time. That was a 0-89. This is much lower grade here. So I think this class drop will certainly serve this five-year-old well. She's won off you know, similar marks in the past. And as I said, she's got track form as well to boost. So I just like her chances each way at 12-1 rather than backing Fulminata at a skinny-looking price.
Okay, on to the 4:05 next then, and this is another handicap. This one's over 1.75 miles, and so we've got the stays in action here, and it's the Aidan O'Brien run that's top of the betting. Victory Song is the 9-4 market leader as we record this, and very much looks as if he's the type to stay over these longer distances, Andy. Do you like the look of Victory Song?
Well, it's difficult to assess. He's been given a mark of 92 off the back of two runs. First of all, he got beat on heavy ground at Tipperary. Actually, that wasn't a bad race. The first and the second are both won since, so we'll certainly forgive him that. Obviously, due to greenness, he was certainly strongly fancied, as he was at the Curragh next time out. Made no mistake, if he beat that deep speed, who we get a chance to analyse the form line with, because Paul Hickey's charge runs early on in the card. I just don't think it wasn't a fantastic run on the numbers. I think 92 is probably over excessive. If he wasn't Aidan O'Brien, there's no way he'd be getting 92 for winning a race like that at the Curragh. But I've tried to oppose Aidan O'Brien's 3-year-olds here at this meeting to no success so far. He did me with a horse called Mekong River the other day, and I fancied Inish Meehan to top of the favourite his yesterday, and that beat me. So I haven't got a great strike rate at the moment trying to oppose Aidan O'Brien, but I'm going to do it here again, much to my foolishness probably, and I'm going to make Clara Bella my nap of the day, 6-1 with William Hill. This morning, I think that's a fair price actually for this 7-year-old mare. The key to this mare, she loves heavy ground, whereas a lot of these won't. All her runs this season, when she's had plenty of cuts in the ground, she's been really good. She won a Tipperary handicap early in the season in May. She then went to Limerick and only just narrowly failed to beat Abu Ben, who obviously reopposes. Can forget the run at the Curragh, that was on firm ground. She bounced back to form in the premier handicap run the other day when she was fourth behind Carice and Drifting Miss, Stranfield Lady. All very good mares. So she comes in really good order. She's got the ground that she absolutely adores. I can't really see her being out of frame here today just because she travels really well and she just keeps going in this ground. Mile 6 should be ideal. If there is going to be a danger at a price, it could well come from Abu Ben again, because this horse, similar to Clara Bella, also likes plenty of giving the ground. No great surprise to see money there for this horse this morning. I actually think it's down between the two. I know Victory Song's a nice prospect, but disappointed if either Clara Bella or Abu Ben don't figure prominently here. And at 6-1, let's go with Clara Bella and make her the nap of the afternoon.
Okay, Clarabella, then the nap in the 4:05. On to the 4:35 next, and we're over the jumps for the first time here. It's a beginner's chase of a 2¾ miles, and Awega Star has been popular at the top of the betting, 6-4 into 5-4 as we record this. Three times winner over hurdles, including Roundly Stole, and was a decent second last time as well over the fences. So. Is Awega Star going to get off the mark over fences this afternoon, Andy?
Well, he's certainly got every chance, hasn't he? He's had three attempts, all of them decent runs. He was third on his chasing debut down in Roscommon. And then he ran in a good race last time out behind Shan Palace in a very fast time. They were well clear of cause of causes. Of course, he's a very useful hurdle, as we know, second in a Galway hurdle and a winner of the Ladbroke hurdle at Ascot last season. So what he did on that occasion, it certainly sets a good standard so far over fences. He's trained by Peter Fahey. He landed that gamble for me yesterday. With his horse who won the novices hurdle. So yards in great form, the horse comes in here great form, he's a strong galloper, he goes on heavy ground, he seems to jump well. There's not a great deal to say in a negative vein with this horse. It's just whether he's got enough class to beat Clonbannon Lad, or should I put it another way, whether Clonbannon Lad stays this trip. Up to now Clonbannon Lad has showed really good form over 2 miles. This is his first run over fences, and his first run for Henry de Bromhead, so he could easily be a revitalised character. He goes really well fresh. He won very easily at Punchestown the last time he was off a long break, and he ran in some really good company thereafter, also against horses like Shrapnel and Moscow Manon and Maloney, all good graded hurdlers. So, you know, he's very much the fly in the ointment here, Clonbannon Lad, but at the trip, with his experience, the run under his belt, I'd have to go with Awega Star just on this occasion. But I wouldn't absolutely be 100% confident.
Okay, on to the 5:05 next. This is a big Grade C handicap hurdle, and it's over 2 miles. And the betting is headed by Grange, who's got a long absence to overcome, but Tony McCoy's been booked, which is positive. And he was progressive before he had some time off the course. And I suppose you could say similar things about Maxim Gorky as well, who's returning from a 305-day absence and is the choice of Davy Russell in those Jiggins Town colours. So similar stories between those two. Pires is in between them in the betting and has race fitness on his side for the informed Tony Martinyard. So an intriguing couple at the top of the betting. Andy, what do you like for the 5:05?
I don't really fancy Pires. I think the ground's too heavy for him. It's obviously been raining again over in Ireland, and the ground's going to be soft to heavy. He definitely wants a much better surface. So I'd definitely put a fork in him at 4-1. I think he's poor value. Can see why there's been money for Maxim Gorky. He's a strong traveller. He's got a touch of class. And if Normead's got him straight after that long layoff, then he's going to be very dangerous here. Grange also as well. He comes off the back of a long layoff. So you've got the first two in the betting, or the first main two I consider in the betting anyway, have got to defy absences. Whether they can do that, I'm not so sure. And I'm much sooner rather go with a horse who's at least proven his well-being in the last month or so, and that's a horse called Mr. Hotelier from the Colin Murphy stable. A win on heavy ground, indeed, that was his only victory in his career so far in 10 starts. Came at Fairy House last year when he beat Sarah Band fairly comfortably in the end. And he's rather lost his way on a couple of runs. I don't know what happened to him at Galway 2 starts ago. But with the tongue tie on for the first time, he ran a really good race in a strongly run event down in Killarney behind the Boat People. That was the fastest furlong per furlong time on that card. He came from a long, long way back to finish in never near a second. So he's clearly back in good form. He's got the tongue tie on again today. He's got his heavy ground. We know he stays. We know he travels. So the price is around about 10-1. I think Mr. Hotelier is definitely not one to overlook in this 5:05.
Okay, the penultimate race this afternoon is the 5:35, and this is a 3 mile handicap hurdle, and the betting is headed by Vitrix Gale, who's 5-2 as we record this, but the money has come against the favourite in the going for the second favourite, Mertu, who's 8-1 into 13-2, and at really big odds. There's been a bit of money about for Blackwell Synergy as well, as 25s into 20. So those are the ones that are attracting a bit of money here. Andy, what do you like for the 5:35?
Well, I think you've certainly got to factor in both Victrix Gale and Baracy in this race. I think the betting's about right for Victrix Gale, around about a 5-2 chance this morning. As I said, second in this race last year, and Baracy was third in this race last year. So connections have clearly targeted their charges again for a tilt at this prize. Victrix Gale, well, she couldn't come in here in any better form, having doddled up the other day at Galway. Absolutely, incredibly easy victory for this 7-year-old mare. Race wide to look for the better ground, and found it in no uncertain terms. Powered up the hill, won very, very easily. Handicap has taken revenge, up £13, but I'm not necessarily sure that's enough to stop her. certainly wouldn't put you off her. As I said, Barresi, she didn't get that horse didn't get the perfect warm up the other day when unseating rider down in Roscommon, but has got some really good form around this track. Also, another one to mention is a horse called Bang On Form. At the prices, I'd probably take a chance at Donald Fitzgerald's 9-year-old. Managed to belie those odds because he's got some really good form around Limerick. His form credentials read 4-4-2-2-1 are his form figures in the last two or three seasons. He was second to drive time here last year in a 2.5 mile conditions hurdle. Of course, that horse is rated in the 130s. So even off a mark of 115 with a good win here last time out, roundly stole. I do think Bang On Form is a horse not to be overlooked here, and at that price, he'll do for me.
Okay, Bang On Form then in the 5:35, and the final race is the 6:05, which is a National Hunt flat race. So we finish with a 2 mile bumper, and Wicklow Brave is the market leader after a decent win at Galway last time. Can he follow up this evening, Andy?
Just whether he goes on the ground, that's the key. His two good runs last time out, punches down at Galway, both come on a quick service. Actually, not totally convinced about his form at Galway. Beat a horse called Marty's Magic, who's been disappointing subsequently. I think he's got all to do here. I don't think he's a 6-4 chance. I expect the win to come from either Yes Sir Brian or Stolberg. And I'll probably go with Andrew McNamara's Stolberg. A winner here at this festival last year, so clearly been targeted for this race. Bombed out at Nace in between, but back on track with a good run last time we saw him down in Limerick when travelling really strongly, only to get run out of it late on by a horse called Taurine. I think that form's quite useful. And at least we know he goes on the track and he goes on heavy ground, which can't be said about the favourite. So let's go with Stolberg in the concluding 6:05.
OK, good stuff, Andy. As always, then, let's have a quick summary, if you will, before you go, if you want to spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, decent card this afternoon at Listowel. We know it's going to be run on heavy ground, so I'll try to pinpoint those horses likely to handle conditions. One horse who should have no such problem in the first is Madame Mo. Hopefully an attacking ride in the first time blinkers will suit Paddy Pendergast's up to now frustrating three-year-old. Deep Speed, I really like this horse in the 3:05. Even if he gets beat today, he's definitely a horse to keep on the right side of. All eyes will be on Form and Art in the 3:35, but I think she's poor value here, and I think Mama Rosa is worth a look or an interest at much bigger prices. Clara Bell is my nap of the day in the 4:05. You can get that 6-1. I think you'll be on safe ground there. And I'd perhaps have a little saver on Abu Ben, who ties in with the same form line as John Keeley's 7-year-old. 4:35 looks a match between Awiga Star and Clon Bananad. I'll go with the former from the informed Peter Fahey stable. Carl Murphy's Master Hotel has definitely been overlooked by the bookmakers this morning. There's no way that horse should be a 10-1 chance off the back of his run last time out. I'll go with Bang On Form each way in the 5:35. He's got some really sound track credentials. And the final race, as I said, I expect this one to be fought out between Yes Sir Brian and Stolberg. But I'm going to go with the course and distance win of Stolberg in the final race.
Good work, Andy. Thank you very much for speaking to us. Enjoy Listowel this afternoon, and I'm sure we'll speak to you again tomorrow.
Will do. Thanks, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.